Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. We've got Game 5 in front of us of the NLDS. We've got Game 3 and 4 behind us. We're going to talk about that.
What we're going to do, this is technically a new episode. We're just going to replay last episode from 3 days ago because it's kind of the same games, but just at a different location. Although, based on the weather for one of those games, you might have thought it was in San Francisco, mm-hmm. but it was not. But exciting. Of course, this series has to come down to Game 5. And yeah, we're going to prepare you for that by going over the last two games and then talking about what's next.
Yeah. Shortly and beautifully said, we'll do all of that after this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Should be noted that the Giants and Dodgers finished the regular season with the Giants up one game, which means combined, the Giants are ahead by a game. And doesn't this season seem like it should just end up with them having the same amount of wins total?
You know, well... You mean against each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's right. I haven't delved into all the numbers yet, but I'm probably going to write something for it tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday. The game's Thursday. It's going to be the 24th Dodgers-Giants game this year. So I think I was looking back at it. I forgot how many the two teams played, like, in the old, like, 154-game schedule, when there were only eight teams, you played every team, 22 times a year. Now it's, you know, it's not that far off now because of it's 19 within the division. But back then you played every single team 22 times a year in your league. But then 1962 came along. And that was the 162-game season. There was expansion. So I'm looking up... I wanted to see Maury Wills because 1962, the Dodgers played... the Dodgers and Giants tied in the National League. There were no divisions back then. So I was going to look up and see exactly how many games they played that year because they did play a three-game playoff, which counted as regular season. So they only played 18 against every team that year, But because of the playoff, they played 21 games against the Giants. So I have to look up. I think 24 in one season is probably a record, for at least for Dodgers Giants. But yeah, that's exciting. And they're probably like super familiar, possibly sick of each other at this point. But yeah, it's a lot to play each other. So you see a lot of the same things over and over, which is why the two game sets seem a little more familiar with each other.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll go in chronological order, and also from a scale from painful to not painful.
Yeah,
talk about game three. That sucked.
Well, it was like it was a very good game.
Sure,
it was also
sure.
the Monday night marked the first time I've worn a jacket in 2021. It was that you know, I'm air quoting this, cold in Los Angeles. Mm. Like, and but it got really windy at Dodger Stadium to the point where, like, even the, like, San Francisco writers were going, this is Candlestick-esque. Like, this is crazy. Like, there was literally, like, trash being, like, you know, like, when people were cleaning up after the game, there's, like, trash blowing around just randomly because it was so windy. And I'm not, like, I just want to clear, like, not saying it as an excuse or anything. It definitely affected, like, sort of the gameplay and stuff, but I think for both teams, but it was just more weird than anything. And, mm-hmm. it made for like a weird environment. Like Evan Longoria hit a ball hard enough that it didn't matter about the win because it got out. And that was the only run of the game. And like, for all that we were kind of worrying in a relative sense about Max Scherzer, you know, cause his last three starts were kind of off a little bit. He found it, and he struck out 10 in 7 innings. He gave up one run, like, just about every time. That's a win, you know, in most cases. In fact, I looked it up, so I wanted to limit it to, you know, because you can go at least 7 innings or one run or zero, I guess. But I looked up, I just wanted to see pitchers in the postseason who give up who pitch exactly 7 innings, who give up exactly 7 or exactly one run. If you go back to 2013, so the last 9 postseasons, 22 times a pitcher has done that, 20 times his team has won. And yeah. Then the two losses, both Max Scherzer starts. One was 2013 ALCS, Tigers at Red Sox, and yeah, it was nuts. So yeah, he perhaps a little bit unlucky on his part, but I think the good news is that he looked really good, and the Dodgers are in a position to potentially ensure that he pitches again, and that would be important. So, but we'll get to that shortly. But also in game three, the Giants' defense really shined. It was excellent. There were so many like big plays, this, not really wind related, but Mookie Betts, he got robbed earlier on a ground ball, a hard hit ground ball by Brandon Crawford, made a really nice play. But then there was a specific one in the, I think it was, I'm losing track of the innings. It was at some point in the game, the Dodgers had, I think 2 runners on, and like this Mookie Betts line drive clearly would have driven in the tying run. But Brandon Crawford made a fantastic leaping catch. And the end of the inning, and it robbed Mookie Betts. And I think the expected batting average on that line drive, based on you know, batted ball data and similar hits of that nature, according to Baseball Savant, was 870.
Yep.
Chris Taylor, earlier in the game, hit a near home run. Late after the game, Dave Roberts said he thought for sure it was gone. That one had an, I think that was expected batting average was 970, and Steven Duggar caught it at the wall in center field. And then, you know, it's still 1-0 in the ninth. Gavin Lux, pinch hit, drove a ball that, again, both sides, like even the Giants after the game were like, oh yeah, I thought for sure it was gone. Like clearly everyone thought it was gone, and but it didn't. It died at the warning track. Gavin Lux had some pretty funny like reactions to it. Like his face was just like, "Are you kidding me? Like really?" But yeah, so like this is how it goes, right? So that, but they only had 5 hits for the game, very similar to game one, except that this game was obviously closer. Whereas the Giants sort of like pulled away. I mean, as much as you can pull away in a 4-0 game. But this
and
was
really
only
similar
1-0.
To, yeah. You know, we talked about this on the last day off. Is like, this is a really emblematic of the Dodgers season. And here we are again of, we'll talk about the good side of things of, you know, piling on and great pitching and all of that. But then these games that are like, it's like a weird mix of the other team played and pitched really well, plus had great defense, and the Dodgers got a little unlucky, but were also just bad at times, just really bad at bats. I think they looked way worse in game one. Like Webb made them just look foolish, whereas this was more of the, come on, if one of these lands, the Dodgers probably win, and none of them landed. None of the would-be, should-be hits went their way, really.
Right, that was like the thing where Dave Roberts, after the game, that was like the sort of saving grace, if there was any, where he was like, yeah, like, the at-bats were good, we just didn't get the results, right? Like, at a certain point, like, all you can do is just keep hitting the crap out of the ball, and hopefully good things will happen. And it didn't, but so one of the issues, though, like just given the current roster right now, was sort of came up in that game. This was in the 7th inning. The Dodgers had, they got 2 hits. They had 3 total hits against Taylor Rogers. Do they have Tyler Rogers? Right, like all these Rogers twins. The Rogers twins, one's on the Twins, and really it confuses me. But yeah, so they had 2 guys on, 1 out. Rogers has reverse splits. He's a righty. The Dodgers they sent up Austin Barnes to pinch hit, right? So he was the only right-handed batter left. Steven Souza had already singled. And like, we could just say, like, when, all due respect, when Steven Souza has 20% of your team's hits and he only has, like, it's one thing if he has 3 hits and you have 15, that's great. But, like, yeah, if he has 1 of your 5 hits, it's a bad night, right? But, like, Barnes being sent up to pinch hit, okay, like, that's a okay situation. But then the Giants countered with left-hander Jake McGee. It's very weird, like all the way around. And you know what's coming with Jake McGee, right? It's fastball. Kapler said after the game they brought in McGee because they needed the strikeout. The Dodgers' options there were replace Barnes, you know, burn him. Not literally, but then they have 3 lefties on the bench at this point. Cody Bellinger, Matt Beatty, Gavin Lux. They stuck with Barnes. Again, totally defensible, right? It's a lefty on righty matchup. That's as good of a matchup I think you're going to get for Barnes. So, like, it wasn't so much that, like, Barnes was used. It's that he was the best choice they had, right? Yeah. Like, that's a tough roster. And I think it speaks to how the Giants are deeper. Like, the Dodgers' problems this, like, just in figuring out a lineup is that, you know, obviously they're missing Max Muncy, but then you look over the Giants don't have Brandon Belt, right? It's they're both hurting in that regard. But
yeah,
I think the Giants, where they could plug guys in, it's a little more flexible, I think, than the Dodgers. So that helps them a little bit. Whereas the Dodgers, like, you know, your 3/4 of your infield are every day. Mookie Betts, obviously, in right. And then essentially Will Smith at catcher. So you're really deciding first base, center field, left field, and some of the guys you have they can only do one. Even Chris Taylor, as versatile as he is, he's never played first. They wouldn't ask him to do that. Like, so they basically have Bellinger going back and forth.
It is, you know, really funny, in a sad kind of way, how first base is this defensive issue they have to solve. Typically the, you know, put a guy that obviously doesn't always work, Jock Peterson, but
at least they tried that in the regular season, right? Like that's
yes,
the thing. Like,
well,
they would,
you know,
never
and
do that.
It would have been interesting to see what they would have done if, say, Muncy's injury had come a month earlier, but he would still be out. Like, you have to think they're going to be asking Lux or Taylor to take some reps at first.
But that didn't happen in time, and
hey, maybe that would have had the same results as Jock Peterson, and they wouldn't have been an option. But I'm sure they would have at least given a shot. But they didn't, and now it's no time. Playoffs are not the time to try that out. So
yeah, so I guess so. The good news there too is and we talked about this before, where Bellinger, his main asset is his defense in center field, but it's funny because Gavin Lux is an infielder. But like to get him into the lineup, he basically has to play left or center. He's fast enough to do it, but then you have what they did in game four was start Bellinger at first and Gavin Lux in center with Chris Taylor in left. That was a little surprising because obviously Taylor has more experience, but I think Dave Roberts was saying like he likes it's a little bit easier, I think, for Lux to read the ball off the bat in center. And I sort of flippantly said, Lux has not broken anyone's ribs from center field yet, so like it's a safe position for him to play. But super weird. But offensively, it kind of paid off. Like Lux, he had two singles, two walks. He ended up getting double switched out, but he reached base all four times. Bellinger started at first. He had two hits in the postseason. He's 4-for-13 with a double, the big double in game two. He also has walked twice. He had the effective wild card game where he also stole two bases. So, like you can kind of see the depth emerging there, right? Mm-hmm. But also the other thing about game four, they got a lead early. They threatened like every single inning except I think the seventh. They left a lot of runners on base, but they were also just constantly threatening. And they kept like tacking on. They scored in five different innings. They won 7-2. Mookie Betts sort of gave them the breathing room with the two-run homer in the fourth. It made it 4-1. Will Smith homered in the eighth. That was his second home run of the series. The Dodgers only have three home runs in the series. Smith has two. Mookie has the other one. But yeah, like that was... like that was what they obviously needed to do. The other like huge thing about game four was that they went with Walker Buehler on short rest. I just didn't think they would ever do that, just based on how they've used him, right? Like over the years, like they start him on extra rest way more often than like on 4 days rest, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I just didn't think they would do it. And they did. Like, the timeline of this was after game two, when it's tied, Buehler went in to, like, Roberts and whoever and said, I'd like to pitch on game four if it's possible. The division series, the way it's laid out, helps this in a way because of the off days. Where if you, the Dodgers did this 4 years in a row with Kershaw back in 2013-16, where you can have your game one starter go game four on short rest, and then you have your game two starter on regular rest for game five because there's two off days in between. So it kind of works out if you want to do that. And the Dodgers like choice there. I'll get to that in a second. But back to Buehler for a second. So Roberts before game four said they wanted to wait until the morning of to like just see how Buehler felt before they like officially, you know, pulled the trigger. Although I think based on post game quotes Tuesday night or Monday night after game three, it seemed like the decision was kind of already made. Yeah. They just wanted to make sure. But Buehler after the game last night, he said, as long as I could walk into the clubhouse, I think I was going to pitch. So it was pretty funny. He was like laughing about it. But so the choice comes down to, like, whatever diminished Buehler would be on 3 days rest for as far as he can go, right? Like, you're not expecting him to go seven. Or, like, Tony Gonsolin on regular rest, but also because it's Tony Gonsolin, he has a short leash. And that makes it a little more of a bullpen game, like a planned bullpen game. And so the Dodgers, in that situation, it's way easier of a call to go with Buehler there, even though he's never done it, because he's Walker Buehler, right? Like, everyone before the game was like, I think Blake Treinen, he's the one of the best postseason pitchers I've ever seen. Chris Taylor was like, you know, he's exactly who we want on the mound. Even like Chris Bryant on the Giants was like, yeah, that's the right choice. Like, if I was managing the team, that's what I would do too. Like, they went with their best option, right? Like, that's you try to get your best players playing as often as possible, and especially with pitching since there's rest involved. And that's what they did. They maximized it. So he got 13 outs, Buehler. He pitched 4 1/3. He allowed one run, and it scored after he left. He left with two runners on in the fifth. But, like, that's kind of exactly what they needed. Joe Kelly relieved him. Now, just to put that in perspective, Tony Gonsolin this year, every one of his 15 games was on regular rest and sometimes longer. He only pitched as long as Buehler did in game 4 five times in 15 games. So, like, I think it was very clearly the right call. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he did well just sort of adds to, I think Dave Roberts mentioned Buehler checked another box, right? Like, on his postseason lore, because he's been so good just generally in the postseason for a long time. So it was really good to see for him. Now, I do have a trivia question for you that's not related to Buehler, but it is related to the Dodgers and the Giants.
Alrighty.
So two players have homered in the postseason for both the Dodgers and Giants. Can you name them?
We'll give it a shot after this.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Two players have hit home runs for both the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yep.
How many can I name? Jeff Kent.
Yeah, I'm going to wait till you give me both answers.
Oh, you want me to get both? Man.
Yeah.
Marquise Grissom.
No.
Okay.
So you got Kent. I should have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got Kent. Do you want to give him a try? Yeah. No, yeah. It's actually Marquise Grissom and Jeff Kent. No, wait. You're the wrong. No, do you want to get one more try on the second one?
Nope. Tapping out.
Okay, so Jeff Kent. 5 home runs with the Giants in the postseason. I believe they were 97 NLDS and 2002 World Series. And he hit one with the Dodgers. That was in 2006. And then Juan Uribe was the other.
Of course. I was at that game.
two with the Giants in 2010, two with the Dodgers in 2013. Yep. Both of them.
Just bricked on it. Absolutely. I was at that game. And I think the first player... Never a Giant. He was never a Giant. Never did anything important for them.
I think he was the first player... the first player I think that played for both the Dodgers and Giants in the postseason was Casey Stengel. Because he was... this might not be right. But he homered it for the Giants. And I forget if it was the 22 or 23 World Series. But he had already played in the 1916 World Series with the Dodgers. He just didn't homer. So, because I was looking up, like, you know, Giants who homered in the postseason, then backing into the Dodger part of it. But, yeah, I forgot he had played in the World Series with the Dodgers. So, but, yeah, that's you
great question. I should have gotten it for sure.
Yep. Okay, so.
Looking ahead. Trailing thoughts you wanted to go over the last two games?
Trying to think. No, it was.
I will give ourselves a pat on the back in that we specifically you and I brought up how badly I thought Luck should be playing, so I'll take credit for that. Mm. But you brought up that you didn't think it would have to come at the cost of AJ Pollock, and you were right on.
Yeah, and like, that's it'll be interesting. So I forgot to mention this. Dave Roberts did say after game four. Because he was asked about Lux, like, did he earn more playing time? He almost hit the game tying homer. Then he reached base four times, and Robert said he'll be in there. I just don't know where yet.
Yeah.
So, and then it got to the point like in our comments on True Blue LA, people were like, "Are they going to bench Justin Turner?" And I was like, "Well, first of all, do you know what you're talking about?" But like, no, I just don't think that's necessarily possible at this point, but like he's also acknowledged he's 2 for 21. He did hit the home run in the wild card game, but yeah, 2 for 21. I cannot see them like benching Turner, especially if you're playing Lux at third or something. I would be shocked. It sounds like it's probably going to be a similar thing where they choose between Taylor and Pollock. And probably have Bellinger at first, and then have Lux do one of left field or center field, and then so we'll see how it goes. But I think that's sort of where they're at. But regardless, it should be an exciting
game. And it'll be really interesting. You gotta give it's interesting when when come playoff time, the Dodgers will kind of do whatever they want. Not really, but they're way more willing to try things. But then come playoff time, some of the lineup and roster decisions, going into how hot Pollock was to end the year, and then they're just like, he's the guy that, like, and granted, he has not looked good in the playoffs so far, and did not look good against Logan Webb, so I think that backs us up. Granted, no, very few Dodgers did.
No, look good. Right.
But I think the at-bat quality was particularly low for him, kind of 2019-esque.
It would be interesting if they went Bellinger center, Lux left, and then had Beatty at first, at least to start.
Because interesting.
You'd load up on lefties. So I wonder if that's what they're thinking about. And then eventually you see Taylor.
Taylor looked really good at least, in, like, the at-bat quality again. Just speaking, like, you know, obviously he had the big home run and has had some result-oriented success, but the at-bat quality just looks really high with him right now. So
and you trust him,
yes,
in just about any outfield spot. So like it'll be interesting to see what they do.
I wouldn't fault them for either of those options. So
yeah, and so you talked about like how the season series currently is Giants 12, Dodgers 11. Game 24 is Thursday and Game 5 of the series. On the season, though, the total wins, because the Dodgers played the wild card game, they did catch the Giants in wins. So right now it's 109 to 109. So the team that gets to 110 gets to play in the NLCS. And the weird part is if the Dodgers win, because they're the wild card, they would start the NLCS in Atlanta. The Braves upset the Brewers. Everyone, you know, talked about how what a crazy matchup it would be with the Brewers because of their pitching, but they also didn't score really much at all. But then if the Giants win, they would host the Brewers because they were the division winner and all that.
Right.
But the matchup to get there first, you got to get through Logan Webb, who shut the Dodgers out through 7 2/3 in game one. He struck out 10. Urias and Webb is a great matchup. And also, like, both have been excellent and excellent against the other team. I was looking at this. So the Giants in Logan Webb starts, they're 23-5 this year, including 14-0 at home.
Sure.
And that includes game one. The Giants won all four of Webb's starts versus the Dodgers this year. He had a 1.52 ERA in those. That's a problem. The Dodgers, meanwhile, 27-6 when Julio Urias starts. I was sort of half joking in my head before game four, because it's like, who's going to start? Is it going to be Buehler? I was thinking start Urias in both games, even if it's short, just because the offense always seems to score for him. So, like, it gets the offense going, all that. I was, you know, obviously it wasn't going to happen, but maybe he's the spark for the offense to score in an odd-numbered game in the series. But the Dodgers have won Urias' last 12 starts. That includes game two. He has a 3.15 ERA in six starts against the Giants. Bueller's start in game four was his seventh against the Giants this year. Anthony DeSclafani, on the flip side, made his seventh start, and he has a 7.53 ERA against the Dodgers, and like I think it's 2.37 against everybody else. Just a weird year for him. But LA's last loss in a Urias start was July 27th. It was in San Francisco.
Oh, no.
That game was started by Logan Webb.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, yeah. But they kind of, you know, did mostly the same. They both allowed a run. Urias pitched 5 2/3. Webb pitched 6. The Giants won in the 8th inning on a really bad throw by Cody Bellinger, who was playing first base. He kind of threw it just airmailed third base on a play and allowed the winning run to score. But yeah, so it's going to be weird. It's going to be good. I think it just had to sort of come down to this. I'm looking forward to it, obviously. I would say the one advantage, or one of the advantages I think the Dodgers might have, is the bullpen being more rested, especially Kenley Jansen. So by pulling away late in game four, the Dodgers did use Blake Treinen for four outs in game four. He pitched both 3 and 4. They didn't use Jansen, though, because it was like 7-2 late. So Kenley only pitched an inning in game three, and then he pitched the wild card game before that. So heading into Thursday, that'll be his only game in 7 days. So you could see a scenario where they go to him a little bit longer than normal. I mean, two innings is a possibility, I would say. I still think they would easily use Treinen in 3 out of 4. So you're talking about a potentially very aggressive bullpen use. Also, Knebel is rested. The Giants use 7 of their 8 relievers in game four because DeSclafani only got 5 outs. So that could be an issue. Now, the Giants did say Kevin Gausman and Alex Wood would be available. Kevin Gausman started in game two for the Giants, so he's like Urias in that he's similarly rested. The Dodgers' equivalent there would be Tony Gonsolin if, like, they needed length. But we'll see. The Giants closer, Camilo Duvall, pitched very well. He recorded the last 6 outs in game three. He did give up the Lux ball that, you know, on maybe a normal night might have went out. But, like, still, he looked pretty awesome. He's well-rested. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting thing. Now, Dave Roberts was asked, you know, what about Max Scherzer, who pitched game three? Would he be available in relief? And he said, as of now, he's not. But he was kind of like, he just left the door open a little bit. He said he reserves the right to change his mind. So, you know, it's one of those all hands on deck type of thing. You have to win this game to move on. You worry about tomorrow, that kind of thing. But I would be surprised, I think, if Scherzer pitched. But who knows? It's going to be interesting either way. But yeah, game five, I think it had to come down to this. The Dodgers and Giants are the two best teams in baseball. So yeah, like they get the spotlight to themselves. All the other three division series have been decided already. There's no games today on Wednesday when we're recording, but there will be one game Thursday, and we're going to look forward to watching it. So
speak for yourself.
I guess, No, it's going to be stressful. That's what
anxiety. Look, can't look forward to anxiety.
Enjoy is in quotation marks. The playoffs are always just like are constant inner turmoil, and so you have they're more something you endure.
I have watched every inning. For any listeners,
whoa,
keeping track,
we, live even?
Yeah.
Wow, that's.
I
impressive.
Said I would okay. After the. I said I get a few years where World Series wins buys my less stressed watching.
Yeah. So far, they've had all the, as you know, night games. I would say there's going to be a couple conflicts for the league championship series because there's a few games or a few days with both the NL and the AL playing. So I would imagine they'll get at least one day game in the other way. You know, with Red Sox, Astros. like taking a one of the day games and maybe one of the night games. Who knows how that's going to play out? Well, I'm sure we'll find out soon. But to get there, the Dodgers have to win game five first. So that's what we're focusing on. And we'll talk to you at some point after game five. Once again, open-ended. It could be about the season ending. It could be about the next series. You'll know soon enough. But thanks for listening, everybody, and hope you enjoy game five. We'll be right back.